Father, I just thank you tonight for the people who came out to sit in your presence. I first of all thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit that's so evident in your house. And Father, I'm just asking right now that you move mightily upon your people, not only the ones sitting here, but the ones watching over the web. And Father, it's miracle time. And there's many out there watching that needs a total miracle in their bodies. And I'm believing right now, Father God, that your healing angel has been sent to go forth and complete the healings within their bodies. And Father, I thank you for it. I just praise and I worship you, Father. Tonight, God wants to talk about keep standing in the middle of the war. Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit, you do whatever you need to do. We give you all freedom. This service is yours. It's not ours. And Father, I thank you, and I praise you, and I give you honor, and I give you glory. Thank you, Father. I'm just hearing God say, as you reverence me, I will reverence you. As you give your all to me, I will give my all to you. As you stand fast on my promises will become yes, and they will become amen. I cannot bless a double-minded child. Your mind needs to be fixed and stayed upon me at all times. For this is the hour when I am bringing all of my promises to pass to all of my children, not just a few. Trust me in this storm that you're going through. Hold fast. I am a gentle God, and I am bringing a gentle breeze all across this nation, and I am healing. But the enemy has torn asunder, and I am bringing perfect peace to a troubled nation. Thank you, Father. God said, encourage my people to be strong in my might. Encourage them to keep going. There isn't anything they are going through that my son hasn't already gone through. The time is at hand. The great battle for souls has begun. The battle in the abyss is raging, and it has been brought to this time frame. So this is a time frame that Satan's bringing all of hell to God's people. And he's trying to destroy whoever he can. From day one, it has always been about souls. And Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, we should know this by heart by the time God's through with this, right? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. God has been using this scripture over and over again, but we still don't have the scripture down in our spirit, or we wouldn't be doing some of the things that we are doing against God's will. God intends for his people to endure the conflict and continue to stand despite all the strategies, the fiery darts, and the attacks. You guys have gotten better, though. You really have. You're finally able to withstand all this junk. Amen. You haven't said you haven't told me that I've done the same thing. I thank you. All right, the phrase having done all to stand and standing is a military term. We are to, number one, stand fast. And 1 Thessalonians 3:8 says, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Now we live if we stand fast in the Lord, in your battle, all right? Number two, stand lest ye fall. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation, Aaron, has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I just said that just to be cute. I usually pick on Astrid. All right, number three, it says, stand firm in the faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Stand firm in the faith. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave and be strong. The fourth thing is stand in grace. Romans 5, verse 1 through 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Aren't you happy about that? See what Dad says? And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. So how's your character today? Because if you couldn't persevere, you don't have character, right? Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know, you stop here for a second. You'll notice that on the table, there's a red sign that says warrior on it. Well, I sent for them. I got one for myself and one for the church. And my family said, what'd you get that for? I said, well, I want to be reminded every day that I'm a warrior. So that's why I brought one for the church too. So every time you walk through the doors, you look at that sign, you will be reminded that you are a warrior and not a sniveling little child. All right? You know, when I act like a fool and start complaining, I just look at that sign and said, a warrior does not act like that, right? So remind yourself every day you're a warrior when the enemy tries to make you act like you're not. All right, number five, we need to stand in one spirit. And Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let what? Your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Paul is saying, I'm suffering just like Christ did. And he's telling us to quit complaining. If we are in the body of Christ, if we are professing that we are a child of God, then we're going to suffer. Come on. And if you really look at what's going on right now, Christians are being persecuted like you wouldn't believe. And I'm talking about the things that are going on in the government. A sinner can do anything they want and they're praised. But let a Christian do, they aren't even doing anything wrong, and they're being thrown in jail. I read about this, I don't know if he's a rapper, what he was. He was stopped for DUI, and they said he wasn't drunk enough to be arrested. Come on now. You know, if that was you or I, we wouldn't have to even have a smell in our breath, and they would have said we were DUI. You know, what's the scripture? What's good is being called evil. What's evil is being called good. This is where we're at right now. We're really there. If you don't determine your heart that you're going to follow God with all of your heart, then quit. Just quit. Because if you would die today and you weren't following God with all your heart, just sort of dabbling in the church and dabbling in sin, you would go straight to hell, and there you would be tormented forever. I've been there three times. I see what's going on. I don't want anybody to ever go to hell because you don't want that kind of torment. No way do you want it. And why do you keep dabbling in sin when God has made a way of escape? What is there in you? Somebody wrote a book, What Is There in Hell that You Want? I think it was Jesse Duplantis. And I'm saying, what is in you that wants to go there? You know, that you keep doing the same things over and over and over again. You don't allow God to change you. You know, God told me one time your rapture is the day you die. There's no, you know, okay, the big rapture is going to occur on such a day. No, your rapture is the day you die. And you might not be around for the big rapture. So you don't know when you're going to die. So why are you dabbling in sin? Why are you just fooling around playing Russian roulette with your salvation? You see, you really need to ask yourself these things. And if you're coming in the house of God, why are you coming into the house of God? Is it to get a good foundation under you so that you do go to heaven one day? Or are you just going to in the house of God because somebody said you should? Don't go to church just because somebody said you should. You should be going to church because you want to change your life for the better, right? All right, three secrets of standing in the battle are: one, the training of the soldier; two, the balance of the soldier; and three, the shoes of the soldier. So Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." So God's saying, okay, so you got your salvation. Now stand, because the enemy's going to try to come and take your salvation from you. And the Word of God says, don't do that. Stand fast. You know, you'll go out and work for the devil with everything you have. You'll give him everything you have. But you won't do that for your own salvation to go to heaven. Why is that? Are you one of those that believe there is no heaven and no hell? If you are, you're going to find out one day, and you're going to wish you would have listened. All right? I don't know why God's going down this avenue in between what I'm trying to teach you, but there's somebody in here, or maybe somebody watching, that you're playing with fire and you're going to get burnt. That you need to start thinking truly, am I really saved? And where am I going to spend eternity? I can't get you saved. I used to try that and it doesn't work. God told me all you do is give them the word. It's up to them what to do with the word. All right, the Roman soldiers were highly trained before the battle. When I wrote it, I thought, God, you have really been training the lighthouse. The training involved weightlifting, running, and practicing with weapons. So let's talk about the training of a soldier in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Quit thinking about ungodly things. All right. The trainer takes the wrestler and works him over. In Romans 5:4, tribulation worketh patience. Okay. Then the trainer takes the wrestler into the hot room. And 1 Peter 1:7 says, a trial of your faith is like gold in the fire. Third thing is, then five trainers use five oils on the wrestler's body. Note, the oil's purpose was to make the wrestler slippery in the ring. There is a fivefold ministry in the church. And in Ephesians 4:11-12 said, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These five anointings will equip you. Now, when I read that, I thought we all ought to take a bottle of oil and dose ourselves really good. And tell the enemy, you can't hold me. Because I'm all oiled down with the Holy Spirit. And I'll just slip right out of your grasp. We take a little dab, it'll do your thing. Well, I think we need a bath in it. And wrestlers really do that. They really do put oil on their body so that it becomes slippery. Now, when you get out of the shower, everybody take your oil and oil yourself really good. So that when the enemy comes to fight you today, he won't be able to hold on to you. You'll slip right out of his fingers. That's just, you don't have to, but that sounds like a good thing to me. All right, let's talk about the balance of the soldier. He would practice warfare strategies and hand-to-hand combat with other soldiers until he could fight automatically. Now, I think that's what you all do in the body of Christ. You fight each other. So that when you meet the real enemy, you've already practiced on somebody. You know? The Bible said, don't bite and devour each other, but that goes on the body of Christ. When I wrote that, I thought, yep, that's what we do. All right, so then I said, he would practice warfare strategies and hand-to-hand combat with other soldiers until he could fight automatically. We can become unbalanced in spiritual warfare and do damage. So I'm going to ask y'all, are you ready now to become, are you ready now to fight automatically? Have you fought each other long enough now? Are you straightened out in that mess? Now you can go fight the real enemy? Because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? Now you ready to go wrestle against the principalities and powers of the air? Come on. If you're married, you get a lot of practice with your husband or your wife, don't you? All right, the third thing, the shoes of the soldier were called the C8. What is it, Astra? Thank you. I knew she'd be able to tell me that. Collegia, is that what you said?
Yes.
All right. The shoes looked very flimsy to their natural eyes. They were opened, enabling the soldier to wear them all day. He could march 25 miles and have aching feet without blisters. The underside was fitted with studs that the soldier fitted for himself. The studs enabled him to get a grip in the ground when he was fighting. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. Now, shoes were for standing and walking. Note, he could use his studs to stomp on the enemy. And Romans 16:20 said, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Amen. When I was first saved, they used to sell those shoes that the warriors used. And they were sort of neat. I wanted some, but never could find my size. But I thought it was really neat. And they had straps on them and everything, you know, and studs on the bottom. And we should have some of those today so we can stomp the enemy, right? Said we wear real comfortable shoes and they slide around, you know, they don't kill nothing, not even a bug under your foot most of the time. But let's just sort of, you know, if you can just imagine that kind of foot on your shoe and your foot when you're walking around, you say, "Devil, I'm stomping you to pieces with my studs." Right? Come on, we need to do warfare as we're walking. In ancient times, it was common for conquerors to demonstrate their victory by stepping on the head of the vanquished. And I tried to look up another word for vanquished, but it means somebody's been totally destroyed, okay? So in ancient times, it was common for conquerors to demonstrate their victory by stepping on the head of the vanquished. In 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Jesus has placed all enemies under his feet. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." See that? Jesus has placed your enemy under your feet already when he died on the cross. But we forgot that, and we allowed him to just slip out from underneath our feet and just tromp all over us. We're supposed to be the head and not the tail, but it's right now it's reversed. The enemy's the head and the church has become the tail, but God is putting a new fire in the church and the church has said enough is enough and you're not going any further. You've walked all over me as long as I don't know about you, but I used to say all the time because it was the truth. You've walked on me for the last time, devil. And now every time you come near me, I'm just going to kick your teeth right out of your mouth. And I do say that because who does he think he is? I'm a child of the Most High God. And who does he think he is to come against me constantly, always, when I'm blessed and not cursed, and he's trying to curse me constantly? You know, he's not going to leave until you get upset with him. And I've been upset with him for about a year now. and I'm through with him. And he's not going to have any place in me or around me. And you have to get to that place or he's going to keep plaguing you. He's going to make you lose your salvation. He's going to give you a heart attack just when you lost your salvation, give you a heart attack and kill you and take you right to hell with him. And then the fun begins for him, because then he's going to torment you. Oh, you guys. Picture a big Roman army all standing there in, you know, in line, however they were, all dressed in, you know, their armor and their little shoes with their studs on them and all ready to go to war. They're not sitting here like you are. I mean, they're at attention and they're ready to fight. God wants you to get the fight in you to fight the enemy and not the people. And he wants you to get the fight in you to fight the devil and get him totally and completely out of your life and go on up into the third heaven and sit with Jesus in heavenly places. That's what he's trying to do to the body of Christ. Is he going to accomplish it? All right. In order to stand, you will need three characteristics: endurance, patience, long-suffering. I'm going to tell you, even that I've watched people in the world, they don't have endurance, they don't have patience, don't have long-suffering. But then I look at the house of God too, and they don't have endurance, patience, or long-suffering. So that's why you can't tell one from the other. Hello. Isn't that right? Come on. All right, the ability to endure. The word endure means to bear up under pressure. Sometimes the pressure gets pretty rough, doesn't it? And we can't bear up, can we? Jesus endured the cross. He knew the joy that was before him. I mean, you know, here he is being beat half to death. He's hanging on a cross, and he endured the cross. He endured all that beating, and he knew there was joy in all this. Hello. We have yet to find that joy in all the suffering, right? And God's been trying to get us to find that joy. A joy unspeakable. One of these days, when you come in the house of God and really worship, I'll know you found that joy. Because that's the only way you can really worship, right, is if you have that joy. We are to endure hardness as a good soldier. In 2 Timothy 2:3, the phrase endure hardness alludes to suffering together. You four girls that come together, do you suffer together? Do you carry each other's burdens? Do you pray for one another? You know, oh my sister's down, we've got to lift her up. Or do you say, oh, kick her in the butt and say, oh, well, go on and get your own mess taken care of. You see what I'm saying? We are to endure, we are to suffer together. 2 Timothy 2:3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Are you still in the army? You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. All right, the second thing we talked about is the ability to be patient. The word patience is a similar word to endure. We must have patience in these end time battles. Romans 8:25 said, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. No, you don't either. That's what Paul said. I want you to be another Paul. I want you to become like Paul. You know, when I started studying about Paul and saw everything he was going through and then related to what I was going through, and then Jesus had me relate to what he was going through, my constant desire was not to be like Jesus, but to be like Paul. Because Paul suffered, and he still believed in Jesus. All right? Where am I at here? Luke 21:19 says, by your patience possess your soul. And Hebrews 6:11 says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Then I put down here, the enemy cannot outlast a patient saint of God. He really truly can't. But doesn't he try your patience? Doesn't he make that situation stay longer and longer and longer? And you say, "Yep, I'm not giving in, devil." And inside you're saying, God, give me strength. Isn't that the way? That's the way it goes. Aaron, quit looking at me like that. It goes like that. Amen? It does. You're telling the devil what you're going to do, but in the meantime, you're in your little mind, you're saying, God, I need strength. Come on, endurance, patience, long-suffering. Remember this tonight, or next time he fights you, the enemy cannot outlast a patience. But then see, God's also saying a lot of you don't have patience at all. Nancy doesn't have patience. He's been dealing with her about patience ever since I've known her. So she has to get this patience thing down pat. She's not the only ones. Don't y'all sit there all smug-like, all right? All right, then let's talk about the ability to be long-suffering. The word long-suffering means the ability to endure long periods of trouble without losing your temper. I'm working on that one right now. These two young kids are growing up. All right, the ability to be long-suffering. The word long-suffering means the ability to endure long periods of trouble without losing your temper. The fruit of the Spirit exercises self-restraint. In the body of Christ, we have to have this long-suffering with another saint of God that we're trying to get to see that living for God's better than living for the devil. I mean, you know, that takes a lot of patience and a lot of long suffering. And sometimes you just go all by yourself and shake your head and say, God, I don't think this is going to work. Yeah, it's just a mess. But then, lo and behold, 10 years down the road, you see the fruit. We don't have 10 years anymore. You say, are they ever going to change? And God says, stand. In other words, I can't make you change. You can't make your sisters change. You can't make your brother change. They have to change. You have to be long-suffering. You have to be patient. Nope, I'm not going to put up this man. I'm going to get a divorce. There's no long-suffering or patience. I picked up his shoes one time too many. Now and I'm done. I'll find one to pick his own shoes up. That's the way it goes. That's why you see so much divorce in the body of Christ. No patience, no long-suffering. Now, if I step on your toes, please just go on about your business. Don't get all upset, all right? We're just having a good time with the teaching tonight, right? 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 says, you therefore must endure hardship. Must. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Your warriors, right? No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. In other words, you want to please God, so you're not going to go back to your old way of living anymore. You're a soldier now. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You can't have your own rules and follow God. You have to follow the rules in the Word. And I see so many people making up their own rules. God knows my heart. Oh, I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. He does know your heart and it's hardened. And that's not going to take you, that little statement's not going to get you into heaven. It might get you kicked out of heaven, but it's not going to take you there. The greatest weakness in believers is the lack of waiting upon the Lord and not being patient. I'm going through that right now, fighting that. God, won't you change them? You said. Then I have to repent, say, okay, God, your timing is perfect timing. So when you're ready, you'll do it. Some of you in here do the same thing. Come on. The greatest hindrance to standing will be weariness. The greatest hindrance to standing will be weariness. Gideon in Judges 8:4 said, when Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men who were with him crossed over exhausted, but still in pursuit. They were tired, but they didn't give up. All right. Then Esau in Genesis 25:29. Now Jacob cooked a stew and Esau came in from the field and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary. And what happened because he was weary? He lost his birthright just over a stupid bowl of beans. And he got upset. He was very upset, but it was his fault. He was tired, and he just wanted to eat. Don't bother me anything else. I just want to eat. How many of you like that? All right, and let's look at David in 2 Samuel chapter 3, 39. And I am weak today, David said, though anointed king. He said, I am weak today, even though I'm still a king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too harsh for me. The Lord shall repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. David said, even though I'm king, I'm weary. I'm weak. And these people are getting the best of me. So I don't care how high up in the totem pole you are, you're going to get weary. You're going to get tired of the junk that goes on down the pole and reaches up to you. All right? Now we have two great promises, Isaiah 40, verse 29. God gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. So don't tell me you can't go on. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you know what? As a pastor, I get so tired of when one of you guys mess up. So then you just say, well, God, and you sit down and act like you're something. And then all of a sudden, God gives you a good prophetic word. And you say, oh, now I can go on now. I got a good word. Well, you should have been going on without the good word. Come on. And how many times is that going? And you know, you'll let that happen so many times that one day they won't get a good word and you won't be able to go on. So you better get it together. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And he's saying, she's my tutor. Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You know, that is a truth. If I took account, everybody in here could say that that's happened in your life. What you sowed, you had to reap. If you didn't, I got to talk to you because you must be God. Or else your weeping time hasn't come yet. So all these wild seeds that you're sowing, one day they're going to come up. Verse 8 says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I've just come through a season of growing weary. I mean, weary, 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 weary. And I had to keep going to God and going to God and going to God and called different people. They prayed for me. And finally got through that dumb thing. But you don't want to go there and grow weary in well-doing. Please don't go there. It's a bad place to be. My question to you tonight is, how are you standing? Are you standing firm on the foundation that God has built for you, or are you standing on sinking sand? Are you ready to go ahead and go and do the things God's calling you forth to do, or are you still playing around with the things of the world? There are many more that are so bound by the enemy that God has called to walk in kingdom authority. And, you know, if you know that you know that you know that God has called you to walk in kingdom authority and you're being fought, then you should be rejoicing. And don't give in to the fight that's against you. You know already you're the victor. And you just go ahead and you just praise God and you just rejoice in him. And you just go do the thing he's calling you for to do. And don't be concerned about those people around about you that are going to hell. You've done all you can do. Now you have other people that God's going to send you to. You've already done your work with the few that you had. Now God has a multitude that he wants to send you to. And he needs you freed up from the ones that are around about you. And it's hard to let go. But we have to let go if we're going to go and do the works for the Father. There's a whole world out there lost and going to hell right now. And not enough people from the house of God to minister to them and bring them into the place that God would have them to be. And God is saying, will you be one of those tonight? Will you be one of those who will just shake off the things of the world, friends, whatever they are, and just come forth in him and go forth and get these souls saved? Because the harvest is ready to be harvested. And God is sending forth harvesters right now. Will you be one of those? And my question was, how are you standing? So the altar's open tonight. If you want to tell God, I'm standing on your foundation, I'm standing in faith, and I'm ready to go forth as a true warrior of the cross to bring in this harvest of souls that are dying every day. And the altar's open.